Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2019. Lecture 15, delivered on March 25, 2019. The title of this lecture is Bond Prices and Yields.
Today, bond yields and prices. Just as a little bit of review, let's make sure you haven't forgotten something from before. Ma'am, when a yield goes up on a bond, what happens to its price? No, it goes down. They're perfectly inverted relationship. That was that Treasury bill exercise I showed. Price and yield are inversely related. So if a bond's price rises from $996.50 to $997, that would indicate that the yield on the bond has slipped a little bit. Actually, I'm probably going to have to turn down that light so you can see the calculator. Now, as I said, the calculations that you're going to do these would be a real pain, and they used to be a pain because you had to do estimates back and forth until you got an acceptable level of accuracy. Now your little calculator or your virtual calculator can crank these things out in a blink of an eye. Well, less than a blink of an eye, I guess. But here's the thing. And I'll start with, let me do one like this. NFLX. And I'll just pull a number out. This probably isn't it. 6.2%, 2036. Well, wait a minute. This is 2018 was 15. No, 2018 plus 15 years would be 2033. That bond was issued last year. It's a 20-year bond. Its term is now... that's a 15-year bond. It's a 15-year bond when it was issued. Its term now is 14 years. The term is how much time is left to maturity. Now, the face value of this bond always will be $1,000. Always, unless I said in some really weird instance, it's less than $1,000. That's the amount of money that was borrowed. That is the amount of money Netflix has to pay back to the lenders. Along the way, from the time this was issued, every year, Netflix has to give its investors, send its investors a check for 6.2% of $1,000. That's $62 per year. That 6.2% is the coupon. The coupon. Trust me when I tell you this. Turn the coupon into a dollar amount and then forget about that percent right there, because there's another percent that you need to keep as a percent. And if you have 2%, you're not going to know which one to put where. But if you X out that 6.2% and turn it into dollar money, then you're not going to have that confusion when you need to actually put in a percent where it goes. In real terms, realistically, however, the $62 would be paid in two installments, okay? It would be paid $31 every 6 months. You get a check for $31 every 6 months. And the term, you would say, well, the term is 19 years, but the number of payments would be 19 times 2, 38. So always keep that in mind, that if we're doing real bonds, we would divide the payment in 2, and we would multiply the term by 2. Someone was telling me that there are actually some bonds that are paying a coupon every quarter or every month. I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, this is traditional. But we're going to just do one annually for the time being, just doing it annually, okay? And then we'll just do the divide in times by 2 in a subsequent one. When this bond was issued, the investment bankers and the company agreed that 6.2% was the reasonable prevailing interest rate for the risk level of that debt. That's what they said at the time, okay? About 6.2% is going to bring the lenders to this paper and buy it. However, that interest rate that the investors would like now probably isn't the same. They might think Netflix has become riskier, or interest rates in general have gone up. So they might not like 6.2% now. They might say it's 6.4% now. That's called the yield to maturity. Or they might say, well, Netflix has become a lot safer, and interest rates have fallen. So really, we would have been happy with 5.9% now. So the yield, which is not in this right here, is different from the coupon. The only time that the yield and the coupon will match is right at the beginning, and sometimes not even there. Sometimes there can be like a mispricing or something. So there you are on that. What was I saying? Okay, anyway. The bond, if yield equals coupon, the bond will sell at par, at exactly $1,000. Watch. Now, the best way to do this is just to attack some problems. We're going to turn on the calculator. Apps, Finance, TVM Solver. Now, the term of this bond is now 19 years. The yield is the I percent. Write that down in big letters. The yield is I percent. I will try to trick you by giving you answers on quizzes and the final where I have put the yield as the coupon. That's why you want to turn that coupon into a dollar amount so you don't make that mistake. The yield here is 6.2% because we want to see what happens when the yield and the coupon are the same. The present value is the price is what we're going to find out. Now, the payment is the $62 a year. That's the coupon. That's why you want to turn that into a dollar amount right away anyway. The FV is the face value, which is $1,000. Always, you're going to key in that 1,000 there. Now, leave everything else alone, the 1, 1, and its end, because the payments are made at the end. Now, we're going to go up and see what the price of this bond should be. Alpha, solve, well, spank me, it's $1,000. It sells at par. The yield and the coupon were the same. So the bond sells at exactly par. Now suppose, though, that the yield, what investors want, is bigger than the coupon. Well, let's say the investors, well, Netflix has gotten riskier since we did this deal, and we really think it should be paying 6.4%. Now, we're going to try it again. Madam, when interest rates go up, what happens to prices? They go... I just did it over there. They go down. They're inversely related. No cookie for you tonight. Let's see what the price value is now. Alpha. 978.37. The bond will sell at a discount to par. Finally, if the yield is greater or is less than the coupon, the bond will sell at a, well, let's see. Ah, Netflix has gotten safer and interest rates have kind of settled down a little bit. 6.2% is a little bit rich. So we'd really like to see 5.9%, but hey, you know, that's how it is. We're getting 6.2%. So we'll put in 5.9% for the yield, alpha. Solve. Well, it sells at a premium to par. Think about the logic of a market. Netflix is paying 6.2%. The market thinks it doesn't need to pay that much. 5.9%. So what's going to happen is investors are going to say, wow, 6.2% for something that should pay only 5.9%. Investors are going to flow in, demand for that bond issue is going to go up, that, and then so the price will go up. Similarly, if Netflix is offering 6.2%, but that really isn't enough for investors, they don't like it, well, they're going to sell that bond, and that will drive the supply up of those bonds on the open market up, and the price will drop. It'll go to a discount to par. So those are the terms: discount to par, at par, premium to par. A little bit of a note here, quick note. Bonds are actually, the price is what we'll work with in here for the most part. But I'll show you a screen, and you'll say, well, those prices don't look anything like the prices that you're talking about. No, because in quotation, in quotes, bonds are quoted at a tenth of their price. So that, see that tenth, that 1,033.73? If you looked at a bond price, a bond screen, you would see 103.37. That's the quote, 103.37. That means $1,033.74. But the quote, and I might have already told you this story. Years back, I knew this guy. He was fairly well-to-do. He thought he was a genius at investing. He bought one of the first computers, and he could track stocks and bonds. And so he decided he was going to buy 10 bonds, and he saw that the 10 bonds were 98.12, or it was something like that. Yeah, about 98.12, something like that. And so, well, that's, you know, I'll buy 10 of them. That should be about $980 plus commissions. Well, he had a heart attack when he saw that out of his account they had extracted almost $10,000. He just had a fit. I'm going to sue everybody. You moron. You were looking at quotes. That's not what the price is. The quotes and the history of that is, the reason we see quotes at a tenth was back many centuries ago when the markets were running, everything came out in the morning and in the afternoon on these big broadsheets, sort of like newspapers. And they'd have to print really tiny in columns to get all the stock prices and bond prices in. And so they just did this thing with a tenth of the price to quote a bond. And that saved column space so they could mush more columns into the broadsheets that they printed out every day, a couple times a day. So if you're ever in Trivial Pursuit, they ask that. You say, Alex, I can answer that question. Anyway. Now, let me show you what really happens. The bond, first things first here. The term, if the coupon payments are made every 6 months, then there would be 19 times 2. So there'd be 38 actual coupon payments. And the payments would each be 62 divided by 2. And also the yield would be half a year's yield. So you'd take 5.9 divided by 2. Now watch, it doesn't affect the price a lot, but it does a little bit. See how now that I've made them semi-annual coupon payments, 1,033 alpha, so watch this blow up, 1,034. It's a little bit of a difference, but it's enough that if you're in my world and the world of the upper class finance students, you're talking about purchases of thousands and tens of thousands of bonds. That gets to be a lot of money. You screw it up, that comes out of your paycheck. So it's a minor amount here. Less than a dollar, wasn't it? But you have to appreciate that difference with the semi-annual. On a quiz or an exam, assume semi-annual. Assume it. Always. Don't let me bluff you, because I'll put in an answer that is the annual. That's not correct. That's how you price a bond. That's bond pricing. However, that's not really what the real world does. You see, we see the price. That's the market, prices, quotes, whatever. What we really want to know is the yield, the backward of what we're doing here. Watch this. Suppose, now I'm going to get a little more realistic. Let me do something else. I'll just pull one out of the air. DNP 5.2% 2028, quoting at 104.75. That would be a realistic thing. Here, we know the price. What we need to know is the yield. First things first. And if you screw up, I'll criticize you heavily, but I know this is new material to you. But let's try this. Okay, sir, is this DNP bond selling at a discount or a premium to par? Yes, it's selling at 104. That's above 100, which would be the par. Excellent. Outstanding. It's selling at a premium to par. So we know something right off the bat. The yield on this would have to be less than or more than 5.2%. It's selling at a premium to par. The yield is, the coupon is, rather, I'm sorry, the price is high. Excellent. So in other words, what we know is that we'd better come up with an answer that is below 5.2%. Because if the yield were exactly 5.2%, it'd sell it at par. If the yield were above 5.2%, it would be selling at a discount to par. So in other words, the market is running to this bond, buying it, buy, because it's offering a better premium, a better coupon than it should. So this time we're going to turn the problem around. First things first, you got to watch it. Again, see this 5.2%? Turn that into a stupid money amount and X that out. That'll keep you from getting confused about where that 5.2% goes. Okay? Do that every time. Matter of fact, They're a legendary a few times when I actually put the coupon up here instead of where it belongs in the payment. Okay, so now, the term of this bond, the term of the bond, just keep doing this until it gets comfortable, you get it into you. Sir, what's the term of this bond right here? It matures in 2028. It pays off in 2000. So what's the term of it right now? Come on. No, the term of it is 19 years, or 9 years. Term is how long it has until it pays off. This bond pays off in 2028, so it's 2019, so this bond has a life of 9 more years before it ends. The term is 9 years. Now remember that the bonds are selling, paying semi-annually. So we'll just take 9 times 2. The term times 2. Don't do it in your head. Let the calculator do it. That's what we've been given calculators for, is so that we can be lazy. Unfortunately, now we have artificial intelligence, which will wipe out our species. We've become so lazy. So there's that. But anyway, okay, so now, the price value. Always, and I've brought this up before, present values always go as negatives. Put them in as negatives, always. You're liable to get an error if you don't. So we'll put in a negative sign. Don't clear anything. Just start. A negative sign. Now, the price value is $104.75 as a quote. So that would be $1,047.50 as a price. Remember to turn things into prices. You can either turn everything into prices or everything into quotes. I'm old school. I turn it into what it really is. Now, the payments here are $52 a year divided up into 2 installments. So it's 52 divided by 2. The 52 is 5.2% times the face value. And the face value is always $1,000. And leave everything else alone. Just make sure that bottom thing is on end. Say it again. We're about to go up here and get it. That's the yield. We're about to find the yield on this thing. Alpha solve. Watch this. No, but you got to be careful because everything was in 6 months. So what you'll get is a 6 month yield. For God's sake, don't forget to turn times that by two. Watch. Alpha solve, that is a 6 month yield, 2.275 whatever. Just run over to the end of it with your cursor and hit times 2 and go down. There it is, 4.55%. The yield to maturity, as we call it, the YTM. The yield to maturity is 4.55%. Like that. As we suspected, this bond, the market says you this bond wouldn't have to pay us but 4.55%. The fact that it's paying us 5.2% means that's what's bringing all of the kids to the schoolyard for the milkshake. It is a delicious bond. So it's going to be driven up in price because it's offering such a nice fat extra on it. Now I'm going to have to stop at Culver's for a milkshake. Whatever. I shouldn't have said that. Okay, you got it? That's how this works. And you just do these, I mean, you can just, once you get the hang of them, there's nothing hard about it. Like I said, imagine doing this in the old days, chasing down back and forth, trying to find different yields that would match up to create the right price on it. It was a real pain in the butt, and these financial calculators have just made it a breeze. And I don't know if they're still making you do it in accounting classes with the tables or not, but man, this is a lot faster to do it this way, and it frees us up to see the underlying principle that's going on here. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Kind of interesting. Let's leave everything alone, except now sir, time machine time. Okay, we're going to put you in a time machine. And then, ping, it's 2026. OMG. And you walk out there, hi, everybody, lol. What the hell do you mean by lol? Old man. Okay, so you wait until you get about 30. Have everyone laugh at what you use, the terms you use. Okay, now, we're going to step this bond forward in time. You see what's going on is that the difference in the interest rate, the spread between coupon and yield, is creating quite an effect on the price. But you see, as we get closer and closer, less and less of the coupon matters, because you're only going to, in 2000, let's say 2026, we'll put you in 2026, just 7 years. You're beginning to have a really receding hairline, getting a little bit of a pot belly here, you know, the whole nine yards. Your cholesterol's a little high, but hey, it's okay. But we'll see what happens to the price of that bond if we have the same spread, but less time left for that spread to affect the value of the bond. Let's take just the term. Oh, God, that hurt. Okay, so now in 2026, there would be only 2 years left times two payments a year. And we'll see what happens to the price. The payments are still 26. The yield to maturity, let's watch, is still 4.55%. Bond still is paying more than it should. Now, let's see what happens to the price. Alpha, remember, it's $1,047.50, alpha solve. Well, I forgot to divide that back by 2. Divided by 2. I had times it by 2. Now, let's do the alpha solve. Look, the price is coming down on par. You see, at the end, all you get is your $1,000 back. That's all there is at the end. So the closer you get to the end, the less the spread, either way, matters. I want you to remember that, because I will ask that on a quiz, and I will ask that on the final exam. The shorter the time to maturity, the closer the bond is to par value. All bonds approach their face value as the term approaches zero. Whether it's selling at a discount to par or a premium to par, it becomes less and less important the closer in you get to the end. I mean, think of it theoretically. One day before the bond matures, it really doesn't matter if the coupon and the yield are hugely different. In a day, you're going to get $1,000, so it doesn't really matter anymore. So that's why it doesn't matter which way it is. So be careful about that. If the yield is above the coupon, or if the yield is below the coupon, as the term of the bond approaches zero, the bond approaches par value, period. That's simple. So I promise you, I guarantee you, I will ask that. Okay. Now, let me dig up. One of these days, I'm going to put my own markers, my own stuff on here. But for now, I'm going to just have to go and find the website again. Bond prices. today. I'm hoping I can get something from a link to the Wall Street Journal. Rates and yields, Bloomberg. Come on, I want to see. Oh, no, that's not what I want. I was hoping I'd find the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Well, maybe. Yeah, that's good for you. Yes, you're all showing the yield curve. Yes, we all know bond prices today. I was kind of hoping to get the New York Times. See, when you type this in, most of the time, all you're going to get is the Treasury stuff or some little preferred stuff. I'm trying to find New York Times or Wall Street Journal. They finance bond rates, Yahoo Finance, DUI. None of these, all of these suck. This sucks. Yeah, you do too. Let me try it a different way. Corporate bond rates, let's try that. Okay, Fidelity, Money, St. Louis Fed, Bloomberg. Very great. Come on. I should, oh, here we go. Maybe. Bond rates track, LIBOR. I'll talk about all of these in a minute. Bond yields, quotes. I give, it just irritates me, I can't. See, bond, okay, let me give you a quick background here. The bond market is 10 times the size of the stock market. 10 times. It is essentially an ocean compared to Lake Michigan. The bond market is vast, global. The thing, though, is, well, why don't we hear about bonds? Hardly ever do you hear talk about bonds on these fancy programs. Well, I recommend this stock, or this stock I am giving a buy signal to. Boy, this stock went up today. Boy, that stock went down today. Stock, stock, stock. And yet you've got this 800-pound gorilla of the bond market, 10 times the size. You hardly ever hear anything about that. Here's why. The bond market is not sexy. It is dead. It is boring. It is so tiresome and tedious that hardly anything ever happens in the bond market. It's quiet. See, bonds are a safer investment than stocks are, simply because the bonds have the prior claim, simply because the bonds have a fixed coupon you know you're going to get as long as the company isn't in trouble. So there's really not a huge movement on a day-to-day basis of a bond or of a bonds in an industry or the bonds overall. They flow much slower, much more quietly. The beta of bonds is generally, and I've got a chart. I'm going to try to find that chart in my rummage through my files on my own website to show you. But the betas of bonds are like between 0.10, and we're not talking about government stuff. We're talking about corporate stuff, and the beta of bonds is between like 0.10 and 0.30. I mean, the betas are low. They are what we call fixed income investments, simply because they pay a fixed amount of money every 6 months, for years and years and years. They just keep paying it over and over again. And so when we are talking about where people come in at their near their retirement, they say, well, we've got $1 million saved away, and we want to put that someplace safe so that we get a known amount of money every now and then. We know what we're going to get, and we can budget accordingly. Well, bonds are a great place for that. So is preferred stock. But bonds, I mean, that's where you put money to have it safe for older people or for things like trusts. and family endowments, things like that. We generally tend to put it into bonds. And the reason is that they are safe, guarantee the return. As long as you invest in high-grade corporate stuff, you're fine overall. And so a lot of companies, as far as pension plans goes, they don't put money into stocks unless they really want to put their pensioner, their future pensioners at risk. You put it into bonds. That was the problem with many states, including Illinois. For years, they were promising benefits that would have existed in their retirement if the money had been from their, you know, from their taken out of their pay, had been getting invested at like 8%. But the policy charters of these pensions required that they do things that could earn them no more than 3%. So in other words, you were promising these old, these people that when they retired, they could count on the money they'd been putting in becoming enough that 8% would get them through getting payments for the rest of their life. But the problem was, you can't get 8% on bonds. You can't get 8% on high dividend stocks. And so we've got, oh, just state after state has a bond crisis. So too do a lot of corporations. Essentially, when you get to retirement, Social Security might not be available to you. And even if it is, that's your cat food. But if you've been putting money into a pension plan, that might not very well have enough money to take care of you because we'll already have been bankrupted by the promises it made to the people who retired before you. And they used your premiums to pay those people because they didn't have enough in those own people's accounts accrued. So that should make you feel really good. Come on, I want a bond, corporate bond, quotes. I am going to find this, come hell or high water, come on. I want New York Times, FINRA, maybe, I should try there, but I want my Wall Street Journal, or, oh, there we go. No, that was what I just looked at. I know what I can do. New York Times. See if they give it to me there. Come on. Business. I thought I'd get something at the New York Times, and now they're not quoting them. It's hard to key rates. They're not doing it here either. Okay. Let's try it one more way. Bond, corporate bond, gainers. Let's try it that way. See if we got it. Well, there we go. There. Nope. Oh, yes. Here we go. Close enough. I'm going to put up with it for where it is. Okay. These are investment grade. Now, what that means is that there are three large rating services, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. Investment grade means that they have ratings that are high on those, one of those services or all three of those services. Some bonds are rated by all the services, some are rated by two, some by one. But in a case like this, okay, so now, the ABC Ameren, Amerisource, I should say, Ing should be really nasty. Why would that? Why are they quoting like that? That's really strange quoting ability. That's really strange. They're not giving me the yields on these. But you can at least see like Pitney Bowes. It's a 4.7% coupon. Its term is now almost exactly 4 years to maturity. So if you buy this bond for the next 4 years, you're going to get $47 a year in two installments of $23.50 for 4 years. And then at the end of that 4 years, you'll get one check, one more interest check for $2,350. Yeah, and you will then also get your $1,000. You can buy this bond in the open market now. I wish they would quote, and I don't. The stock, why are they bonds? Most active, let's see. Nope, not going to, that's mutual funds and ETFs. So let's try one more time. I'm going to try, see if I can get the New York Times quote service. Overall Business Insider, Money, U.S. News and World Reports, Barron's, The Street, and they're not even giving, New York Times always has the bonds. Bond, corporate bond yield, corporate bond rates today. Fidelity. This is driving me crazy because they don't even have, none of these services are going to give me what I really want for the time right now. That was New York Times. That was where I just was. So I'm not sure where to go because you see, it's very hard to find bond quotes these days because who cares? Everything is about, Fidelity, okay, corporate bonds. Let's try one more time. Yep, they're just selling you stuff here and trying to educate you so you'll buy their products and all that kind of stuff. It's really not working for me at all here. So anyway, a couple of terms. Investment grade means that they are very high quality. You'll investment grade, you will see at least one A. Now, the rating services all use their own rating system, but they involve the letters A, B, C, and D. Some of them use capital and lowercase letters. Some of them use only lower corporate bond rate. And a bond is an annuity. That's very interesting. But it's almost a level annuity, but it's not exactly a level annuity simply because there's that $1,000 kicker at the end. So in other words, a bond is a level annuity combined with a lump sum future payment. And it's an ordinary one too. Well, no, in an annuity, would be any cash flow. So it is an annuity, no doubt about that. But it is not a level annuity because of that one last payment, which is different from the other payments. That last payment kind of blows that. I am really, really... These are all government stuff. They're all, well, no, this is corporate. Okay, so you see, this would be an index of AAAs, which means that they are the highest grade of corporate debt. They are investment grade. They are what you put, you invest money in if you want it to be super safe, but not. A AAA corporate bond yield will not be much higher than a government bond yield of the same maturity. So in other words, a AAA Microsoft corporate bond due in 20 years would have a yield just a little above a government bond of the same duration. There would be a slight difference because of the slight chance, the very small chance of default by the Microsoft bond. It's going to be small, but we always look at that, what we call that credit default premium, to see if it's getting bigger, even on the AAA stuff. Because if it is, that tells us that the economy is beginning to show signs of worry for corporate paper. I'm going to try one more time because it's just beginning to burn me a little bit. Corporate bond prices. Rates and bonds. This is all core country stuff. It's not so. Boy, that felt good to knock that pop. Okay. Nope, they're just trying to tell you all about what they are. They won't quote them. They're trying to. Do they give it in here? Come on. Bonds online quotes. I got nothing. You see, it's very hard. You can find stock quotes all over the place. Finding bond quotes, good luck with that. And they've got a we've got a firewall around that site, so that was a bad idea. So we try one more. Bond info. NASD. Why didn't I think of that? You know what? God, that pisses me off. Yeah. Block the content we want. They are blocking an NASD site? Really? I can, but I'm afraid that those people who live in the basement, those IT people will come up here, and they're all midgets. They'll kick me in the shins. And I hate it when midgets do that to me. Okay, by the way, high yield is a nice term for J-U-N-K, for junk, high yield, non-investment grade. Because if we say we're talking about junk bonds, it hurts their feelings. Oh, yeah, that just took me to, for God's sake. It's a bunch of my boxers. Okay, I've given up on that. That's just, I keep going back here because it used to be at least a little bit easier, and now it's gotten really tough. See, okay, let's try a bond name. Okay, let's bond type, a corporate bond. Rating, let's go with ratings. See, and these are actually look like, let's do ratings that are AAA. Let's do corporates of real high quality. Yields, we'll just take all yields. And countries, let's go for the USA. And we'll get some, fortunately. There we go. Okay, let's look at one that's a little. Here's ExxonMobil. It's AAA, very high quality, investment grade. Now, the coupon is 3.176. But see that the yield is much lower? Well, spank me. Look at that. The bid and ask are pretty wide. Gee. Okay, see how it's selling at a premium? About the average of the bid and ask, it looks like about 103.20. So see how it's selling at a premium to par because the coupon is better than the market says it needs to be? Look down here. Johnson & Johnson, home of the asbestos baby powder. 4.95% is the coupon. The market says, oh, you really wouldn't have to pay us that much. We could take 3.53. So look, geez, Louis, look at the premium on that. I mean, you see a premium of 103 is pretty good premium, but look at this. $1,156.80 on the bid, $1,162.10 on the ask. So, I mean, though that is just ridiculous. Let me, top yields. Oh, here we go. You do see why that's hilarious, right? See that yield? See, a yield should be somewhere between about 2% and 10%. That's junk. Cloud Peak, Sanchez, Parker, see if you would. iHeart. iHeart is twitching around almost dead. It's got 2 years left, and everyone's just hoping the thing will mature, not go bankrupt before it has to pay this. But that's just Blackboard. Holy cow, Blackboard? Got a yield of... Oh, someone took a dip in the swimming pool. The coupon is 7.75%. The yield, the market says, well, no, 7.75%. You should be paying us 30.75%. So let's see what the price of these bonds is. The quote is $87.49. So in other words, these bonds, you could buy them at $874.90 a piece. And what was the maturity date on that? 3/9. Wait, no. What was the maturity? Come on. Do you see the maturity date on those? ISIN, the issue date. Oh. I did? Where was it? I'm missing it. Wait, what? 11/15/2019. There it is. My eyes suck. That thing has less than a year left. And the market... Remember what I said? As the maturity date approaches, the spread becomes not as important. The bond will approach par value. Not this one. The market is predicting a very high probability that this thing's going to go bankrupt. Blackboard will be bankrupt before November 15th. And so the bond won't pay off its full value. That's what that's telling us. The market is expecting that this thing is going to bite the dust very soon. That's almost sad. Blackboard is gone. All of these, really. I mean, iHeart. iHeart's another one. iHeart is, oh my God. iHeart's dead. There's almost no data on it anymore. 31% yield. The coupon is 9% on it. The market says you shouldn't be paying us 9%. You're so risky, you should be paying a coupon of 31.73%. So this thing is quoting at 76. In other words, you could buy this iHeart bond for $760. And if iHeart were to survive for 2 more years, you get $1,000. And your coupons along the way. So it doesn't... I mean... Yes, there is a market for these. There are junk bond traders. It's a total, just a roll of the dice. But there are some, if the bond price goes low enough, you'll have buyers. This thing has buyers. Obviously, the price is supported. Yeah.
So if I see something that's like this, is this like an indicator that I can short sell this?
I can guarantee you if you short sell it, you'll get cleaned out because there will be so many short sellers. As soon as they all try to cover, they're going to drive the price up, and then you're going to lose everything that you wanted, and you're going to have to pay back the stock. Yeah, at this point, the short sellers have already just sitting there waiting. It's sort of like, there was this time some years back when I was in a distant country and there were vultures overhead. I thought, that's a sign. I'm going to give you an attendance quiz. Just to reward you for showing up for class.